What's up, everyone? Mark Lobliner, TigerFitness.com. We got an extra special guest, DDT Method.
What's up?
Ha, chilling, man.
Chilling.
Just got my blood work done.
Again?
Came out okay. Yeah, I'm getting it done every day now.
Go every day.
So I think it's profound. And this is not just for the drug guys. That people still, to this day, aren't paying attention to their blood work. And blood work tells you a lot of things. And I blame a lot of it on the carnivore guys, because I blame basically everything from the Ukraine war to Israel. It's all the fault of the carnivore people.
Most of it legitimately is.
Yeah, so the problem is, they'll get these readings back, like, oh, my LDL's high, it's 300. That's fine because I'm eating all meat. No, it's not fine. So the blood work is a snapshot in time. That's why I recommend blood work every 6 months.
Right.
It's a snapshot at that moment in time, and always do it fasted because lipids floating around, all that good stuff does change in glucose, obviously insulin. But the problem is you have a group of people who are saying that the blood work doesn't matter because the numbers don't matter. I'm gonna state for the record, I don't care who I piss off. Obviously, we have different readings like ApoB, things like that. But things like LDL, HDL, AST, ALT. Look, man, if I'm doing an oral steroid cycle, my AST and my ALT are off, I'm gonna be like, I'm probably gonna die. I should probably stop that. Mm-hmm. So we understand that you might get that blood work back and it might be off and you might be natural. I know so many natural people whose liver enzymes are off.
Crazy.
Because they train hard or maybe they drink. And a lot of people, because processed food, whatnot, their cholesterol level is off. And I'm gonna state here, I am not of the mindset that your cholesterol should be off because you're keto. I don't care what diet you're on. I think we should all aim to be within the healthy guidelines or the normal guidelines of cholesterol.
Right.
If you're not, and you're saying it's because you're superior because you don't eat fruits and vegetables, that's a cope, and you're an idiot, and you're following idiots. You need to stop following idiots, you're gonna die. So, with that being said, all that aside, you get your blood work done. Maybe your cholesterol's off. Maybe your liver enzymes are off. Let's talk about some supplements that can actually help. Again, we're not doctors, okay? I'm not even a doctor like Dr. Dre. We are simply people who have actually had blood work, have really good, perfect blood work now, and know people and have worked with people and helped people get their blood work regulated. So this man is actually really good at this. So I thought this is something that'll help a lot of you guys. Even you young people need to pay attention to this. You only get one heart. Well, unless you're C.T. Fletcher.
You get a couple.
But we want to make sure your first heart doesn't fall. We want to make sure everything works. So what are some strategies to regulate your blood work as far as, let's say, cholesterol and liver enzymes, things like that?
The number one strategy, the first strategy, is actually getting your fucking blood work done. You have to actually do it. And if you're running cycles or even supplements or even putting significant time, effort, and money into your physique or into your athleticism or into your health in any way, blood work is like $150 to $350, depending on where you go, to get close to a full panel. Now, this is the part where I'm gonna come out and I'm gonna say something that makes it seem like I'm defending Big Pharma, so I might become the enemy of the entire internet here.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Big Pharma obviously has some flaws internally. There's obviously some shit going on, but you know what they're not trying to do? They're not trying to give you fake parameters and numbers so they can kill you or intentionally keep you buying their medication to this insane degree to just keep you unhealthy and medicated. There is no doctor on the planet intentionally going, I'm gonna tell this guy that LDL matters when it doesn't so I can get my kickback on my statins. That's not how it works. And honestly, that's how most of you guys are fucking making it seem like that's how it works. And that's not how it works. Your doctor might not be the most educated person on nutrition. I wish they were, but sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're pushing some sort of conspiracy agenda against you. Like, and I believe in conspiracy shit. So I think those chemtrails are doing weird things. I think there's a bunch of weird conspiracies and shit going on. But Big Pharma.
Be careful, this is YouTube. They will ban me in a second. We won't even talk about what happened in 2020. We're not doing that.
Skipping over all of the conspiracies that we're not allowed to talk about.
Anybody who believes in conspiracies, it's us.
Exactly.
But not this one.
Big Pharma is not trying to fuck with your cholesterol levels. I promise you that much. So we need to actually get the blood work done. Getting the blood work done is the first line of defense, so we know what's going on. And then getting it done regularly, because like Mark said, it's a snapshot. Your blood work on a Tuesday morning fasted at 8 a.m. might be totally different, it will be totally different, the following Thursday night at 10 p.m.
Yep.
So we want to get it in regular intervals, once every 6 months as a minimum. If you're using stuff, if you're putting hormones into your body that aren't coming from a doctor, once every 4 months, if not every 3 months, is probably ideal.
Guilty.
I literally go every single quarter. And I'm not saying that as an admission to taking copious amounts of underground gear. I have, but I still get my blood work done on regular intervals so I know what's going on.
Everybody should.
So, and then I'll kind of go off on a segue here really quickly and say that if you're a coach and if you're working with people on nutrition, you should really probably look into educating yourself on this stuff too, because this can help you make dietary choices. If somebody comes to me and I see their blood work and they have perfect cholesterol and they tell me they've been eating 3 ribeyes a day, I'm not necessarily gonna lower their fat intake or lower their saturated fat intake out of fear of screwing up their cholesterol, because genetically they're fine with it. I had a guy come to me once that was eating 3 pounds of bison a day and putting butter on it, and his cholesterol is pristine.
God bless him.
So I knew I didn't have to mess with that food intake because he loved his butter and bison, so whatever, keep it in there. I don't know how it worked, but it worked. Likewise, if somebody comes to me and they maybe put a little bit of cheese on their food every now and then, they don't eat a lot of red meat, but their LDL is 180, 190, 200, they have bad HDL, I need to address their dietary stuff. I need to address their diet more directly. That's in a way that's not going to make that worse. Now, what we have here is we have this whole segment of athletes and bodybuilders and trainers and coaches on YouTube, on Instagram, going to social media for their primary source of information. So we're all just collecting this information from a bunch of people that might not know what they're talking about, or maybe they know what they're talking about, but they're incredibly biased. So when you listen to stuff like cholesterol doesn't matter, or saturated fat doesn't matter, or vegetables are bad, or meat is bad, or eggs are good, or eggs are bad, these are all blanket statements that might have general application, but we don't know how they're affecting the individual until we actually see their blood work and see what's going on there. And there's so much we can do beyond that as far as calcium scores and testing to see long-term effects of things that we've done in the past, but that's a whole other realm of discussion. In terms of blood work, we need to get it done so we can see where somebody's at. And then, of course, the first line of defense in anything is going to be lifestyle changes. Dietary intervention, and then exercise. If somebody's not doing any cardio, which it's 2024, I don't care what stage of your training you're in, bulking, cutting, whatever the hell you want to call it, you should be doing some form of cardio.
Absolutely.
Like, why not mitigate damage? Why not make your heart stronger so you can train harder? But again, that's a whole other discussion. Once we have those things in play, we need to be aware of what we need to look for and the ways that we can address it and fix it and then follow up on to make sure that we're taking care of issues we need to take care of. What are the main things that we as, let's say, bodybuilders, for example, or as coaches, see red flagging the most? I'd say cholesterol, liver, kidneys.
Yep.
There's a lot of things in there. These are the things that we want to pay attention to the most. And I say that as a general statement, because everything from, you know, A1C to glucose is important as well too, but there's some low-hanging fruit here that we definitely want to pay attention to. So cholesterol, for example, if your LDL is above 100, that's not really good. If your HDL is below 40, that's not really good. Now, I know a lot of people don't understand how these things work, and we can go into a 4-hour dissertation on it, but then nobody's going to pay any attention, but let's go over it in a general statement. LDL particles are going to float around in your bloodstream, and if you have any sort of inflammation whatsoever, let's say on the walls of your arteries on the inside, that LDL is going to attack that inflammation because it thinks it's saving your life. It sees that inflammation as potentially the inside of the artery splitting, and it's trying to spackle that shit closed with the LDL. The problem is, if it's just a bunch of inflammation and you're spackling and spackling and spackling, that's gonna build up and narrow that blood vessel, and eventually that turns into a heart attack. HDL is kind of like an Uber that's going to pick up the LDL and drive it back to where it needs to be. So in an ideal world, we want not a lot of Uber customers, but a shitload of Uber drivers to take the customers where they need to go without a bunch of people piling up outside the restaurant waiting for their Uber ride or like an airport.
That way, that's awesome.
Yep, you don't want like an airport during the holiday season where everybody's waiting and fighting for it because that's getting congested. So you need to send in those taxis, those Ubers to take everything out. What drops HDL faster than anything on the damn planet? Steroids.
Steroids do dramatically.
Oral steroids particularly. That's why I'm not a big fan of orals in any situation
now,
where you
now,
can't directly
record,
make money doing them.
I'm a big fan of oral, just not oral steroids.
And if you can make money doing that, more power to you.
Yes.
Judgment free, man. Regardless, you need to know what these things are so you know the ranges that they need to be in. So you don't necessarily just want your HDL sitting at 40. You might want that at 50 or 60. I keep mine around 65. Now, there is some science to say that if you're creeping up above 70, 75, that's just needlessly raising total cholesterol. So I think anything in excess is a bad thing, including good things like HDL.
Yeah.
But we also know, for a matter of fact, that the higher LDL goes and the lower HDL goes, your HDL to LDL ratio is getting more and more skewed, and that puts you at either one times the risk of heart attack, twice the risk, three times the risk, four times the risk. So you wanna close that gap. And there's supplements there that can help with that. Now, again, dietary interventions and exercise. Dietary interventions, maybe keep your saturated fat low for the average 200 pound man, keep it under 20 grams, give or take. Then it's really based on percentage of your total calorie intake, but let's just say 20 grams is a blanket statement, I think is enough saturated fat. That's kind of a lot. That's a good helping of a fatty red meat every day. And if you're using lean cuts, that's even more. So there's no reason to have to go above 20 grams of saturated fat, in my opinion. Now, exercise intervention, cardio, training at a relatively quick pace or a metabolic stimulus can be helpful also. General movement, just don't be sedentary. Don't sit on your ass and do nothing. Once these things are addressed, we have a ton of supplements. We have a ton of supplements that can help with this. And here's the deal, they can also help with your performance. There's bleed over effects here. I know health supplements aren't sexy.
No.
We can't take a bunch of health supplements and then all of a sudden be shredded or gain 25 pounds. And that's the low hanging fruit. That's why people love pre-workouts. We feel them, we see them, we put them into action and we notice them instantly. But this stuff counts too, and long term it's gonna play a much bigger deal in not only your health, but your performance. And when you train harder, you look better. You train harder, you make better gains. You train harder, you get more shredded. This all adds to that. So if your HDL is too low because you either dropped it taking some shit you shouldn't be taking, first of all, stop taking the shit you shouldn't be taking, or take it in a small segmented time frame where it's not gonna do that much damage, and then fix it with the things that can bring it back up. Citrus bergamot, 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams per day will raise your HDL. Niacin, the flush niacin, unfortunately, will raise your HDL. I take 1,000 milligrams time release every single day and my HDL is great. There's a ton of stuff. Fish oil can raise your HDL as well as lower your triglycerides. If your LDL is too high, berberine at 2,000 milligrams a day tops. You can even go down to 1,000. For some people, even 500 twice a day to total at 1,000 will drop that LDL and also works as a GDA and partitions nutrients and can get you leaner.
I would like to add in also with all the things going on, the blood clots and everything you see popping up, whatever's causing it, don't know. Not the purview of this video. Natokinase is something that also has implications with HDL, LDL.
Yes.
I like between 4,000 and 8,000 FUs a day. That's its measurement.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 2,000 FUs per 100 milligram. I'm not sure. It depends on the... The label will say the FUs. So I take 4,000 FUs in the morning, 4,000 at night. Some people might have problems. They're already taking fish oil and stuff with clotting.
Mm-hmm.
So they might get a cut and start bleeding. So be very cautious when you start implementing these things that if you get a cut and you're not clotting, take the dose down a little bit.
Yes, definitely write it down
a little bit. So fish oil, you like fish oil.
So I'm a big fan of fish oil, and just kind of on that note of just making sure that there's no crossover, always be sure that you're taking things that stack well together and avoiding things that don't stack well together. Because you mentioned fish oil, which can have a blood thinning effect.
Yep.
Natokinase, which can have a blood thinning effect. If you wanna actually add in some whole food source, Japanese natto, it's a fermented soybean that you can throw on rice, incredibly rich in natokinase, obviously. That on top of the supplement might be too much. If you're taking some garlic extract, some allicin, which is great and a ton of health benefits, including for lowering LDL and raising HDL, also thins your blood. So you can take a lot of things that can help, but you need to make sure these doses are correct and that they're not stacking negative benefits on top of negative benefits. But these things are there and they work. If your liver enzymes are elevated, NAC can drop those down. Tudka can drop those down. Artichoke milk thistle heart. Isn't sexy anymore, but milk that drops them does. Down.
Milk thistle, artichoke heart has some implications in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a product, Ambrosia has a product called Nectar,
right,
which has a lot of these ingredients in it. Also has things for heart health, liver health, kidney health, all those parameters. So I like to take Ambrosia Nectar. I'll take the natokinase. If you're looking at overall heart health, vitamin K has been shown in multiple studies to help to decrease or prevent calcification of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Another testing you get, calcium scoring of the heart.
Yes.
Calcium. I believe that's every other year they recommend.
They recommend every other year starting after 40. Here's my situation with that. Again, I'm an open book. I'm an HRT guy right now.
Same.
I take 150 milligrams of testosterone per week.
Same.
I take 2 units of GH 6 months out of 20. A year or so. 20, you know, every 15 minutes.
Well, everything we're saying multiplied by 10.
Yes. IV dosed. We're rich.
The internet really thinks I'm on a lot of stuff. I'm really not that big, guys. I'm 211 pounds.
But again, it's clear that you're...
because I'm shredded.
And you're injecting bull semen.
Yeah, well, no, I swallow that.
So,
well, I'm not a quitter.
How silly of me. It's natty if you swallow it.
So let's recap, I think. You have citrus bergamot.
Citrus bergamot,
that was 1,000 a day?
I like to go up to 2,000 a day of bergamot, especially if I'm trying to drive my HDL higher, 1,000 in the morning, 1,000 in the afternoon. Now, you will have a nutrient partitioning effect to that. It might drop your blood sugar a little bit as well, so I prefer to take it with food.
Yep.
If you're taking it alongside berberine, maybe buy a glucometer for 20 or 30 bucks and just kind of see what it's doing with your blood sugar.
Berberine, I will say 1,000 to 2,000, but there's also dihydroberberine, which is a much lower dose.
Much lower dose because it's a more active and more bioavailable component to it. That's always going to be beneficial when you can get your hands on it. It's just something your body can use more efficiently.
Natokinase, 4,000 to 8,000 FUs.
Now, natokinase is kind of the sleeper here because it does so much.
Oh, yeah.
Natokinase, for as good as it is and for as long as it's been around, nobody really talks about it that much.
Until after the pandemic.
Because it lowers that risk of blood clots.
Yes.
So not that those things are necessarily related or allowed to say it, but lowering the risk of blood clots is very important for a lot of people right now. Now that natokinase removes fibrins from the blood, so it makes the blood flow better in general, which can have a multitude of positive effects, including for your training performance. If you want to raise your training performance and your conditioning, natokinase can help a ton with that.
And also blood flow and heart health, you're gonna have better pumps. You're gonna have better boners. Mm-hmm. Like if your blood is healthy, if your cholesterol is good, what is a boner? It's literally blood flow. That's why you like Yohimbine.
Mm-hmm.
Yohimbine is great for it. Another thing is you gotta realize, like, I don't know about you, but I love supplementing with 5 milligrams of Cialis a day.
Yep.
So Cialis was originally formulated for heart health.
Exactly.
Then they found out, holy shit, these old guys are getting boners that are lasting like 48 hours.
And there's more money in boners than there is longevity.
Well, that's why we have our OnlyFans page.
For longevity.
Yes.
Of our boners.
My longevity of my boner is not very impressive. I'm more of a girth type boner guy.
Short bursts. I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Stack of pancakes down there. So liver health, we looked up NAC. Do you have dosing for NAC on that?
NAC, I like 700 twice a day, unless there's something that I'm really trying to drive as far as inflammation or a positive antioxidant effect.
Milk thistle, I can't remember. I think it was 800. I'm not sure. I'll have to look up milk thistle.
Milk thistle, you can run the dose pretty high on because it's the max tolerable dose is pretty high. Now, I will say regarding all these things, there are certain interventions that are going to be more powerful as kind of a be-all, end-all.
Yep.
I prefer injectable glutathione as my main go-to
it's
for that one.
It's just the PIP on that I don't like.
It just hurts
of a
bitch.
I'm not allowed to say where to buy it or recommend to buy it because that's literally what shut down Mark Bell's channel.
Ooh.
But they do have prescription glutathione. You can get that from your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a good doctor.
Yes.
They do have, and I don't know where to get it. I don't know if it's prescribed. there is intranasal glutathione.
Yes. And the studies on that are very promising right now too.
Intranasal, so looking at, I hate to get far in the weeds, looking at absorptive levels, obviously there's injection, there's intranasal, and there's intrarectal are the best forms.
Yeah.
After that, it goes transdermal, and then you go into oral.
Mm-hmm.
So anal before oral, always.
And I know you were all waiting for the joke, but he's actually being 100% serious. Anal before oral kind of plays into the actual science of this.
It's ass to mouth.
Well, exactly, which is why you should be okay with it.
Yeah.
Situationally. But no, this is real science.
We're talking about drug delivery.
Yes.
So am I missing anything we went over? Niacin, you had 1,000?
So I like 1,000 milligrams of niacin in a time release capsule.
Because it's the flush.
You want the flush niacin, but if you get a time release, it's not going to make you want to scratch your eyeballs out, which is kind of a benefit as well.
I did that once before a photo shoot.
Yep. They grew back.
Bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea, dude. I was like, what the hell's going on?
It gets to be a little too much. But
again, like, going up all those supplements, those are great. Vitamin K, again, I'm at 200 milligrams a day of vitamin K.
Yep.
Mena 7 is the brand name.
Yep, so that's the one that's been shown in studies to be the most absorbable. Hugely important, and kind of why aren't you taking it? There's a huge craze over vitamin D3. Here's the deal with D3. D3 is awesome. D3 is incredibly awesome. Everybody loves the D. Everybody needs the D.
Who doesn't love the D?
Here's the problem with too much D, with too much D3 at least. Vitamin D3 will enhance your body's ability to absorb calcium. Vitamin K2 puts the calcium where it needs to go, which, newsflash, not your arteries. So we're gonna see, in my opinion, and I don't wanna see this, but we're gonna see in like 10 years, this whole influx of people that went batshit crazy on the D3 bandwagon with heart issues because they were absorbing 10 times the calcium because they figured more is better and took 100,000 IUs of vitamin D3 a day for 10 years without taking the K2 to put the calcium where it needs to go. And if it doesn't need to go anywhere, it's just kind of floating around freeform. To me, that's a ticking time bomb situation. So K2, incredibly important. Kidney health is incredibly important. That ties into your blood pressure, but there's supplemental interventions for that, including natokinase, which can lower your blood pressure. And there's a ton of herbal remedies for that as well too, which is why on top of blood work, blood pressure is something that you should be taking weekly, several times.
So we're off the supplements. Let's get on to hippie shit. Because I wanna say that these studies are not very good, but who gives a shit? 15 minutes of sunlight, of light, okay? Barefoot on grass. So what's funny is we're talking about blood pressure. I wasn't gonna bring this up. There's some fascinating data, and I say data very loosely, on grounding, earthing, improving your blood viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, we talk shit about a lot of people who are like carnivores and stuff, but they're doing some things right.
Right.
And they're big on the vitamin D from the sun. Like, the vitamin D from sunlight converts to vitamin D that your body can't get from supplement form. So make sure, now I'm not saying go out and burn. I'm saying 10 to 15 minutes of exposure a day with as much skin as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not saying walk naked in your neighborhood. Maybe take your shirt off in your backyard.
There's that whole contingency of people that sun their buttholes, which might be fun, but not necessary.
I just like having a dark butthole.
I just like doing backwards rolls naked in my backyard.
But don't overlook the cool shit. Relax. Get some grounding, you know. Get some nature. Go walk on the beach. Touch grass.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff is tied into your circadian rhythm. And we know that your circadian rhythm needs to be healthy and operational in order to just carry out the day-to-day aspect of life, including regulation of heart rate, HRV, blood pressure, all these things. And walking in the sun for 5 minutes is free. Getting a little bit of moonlight for that ion exchange at night is free. Going to bed at a reasonable hour and getting a good amount of sleep is free.
Yes.
And all these things tie together. That regulates blood pressure, or at least helps to do so. That helps with your circadian rhythm in general. That goes back to helping with your blood pressure. It's a full circle effect. That will help with your overall health. And when you're healthier, you have more energy. You have more energy, you train harder. You train harder, you look better, you feel better, you fuck better, you everything better. You better when you're healthy. You are better when you are healthier. And that's why I can't wrap my head around people that want to just go for the sexy shit that we do. They want to get the heaviest squat, the heaviest deadlift. They want to get shredded. They want to bring out their abs and their obliques and everything, which more power to you. I love that shit too.
Yep.
But I can do that stuff better when my body is healthier on the inside. I'm not trying to preach health like I'm just a Sunday school teacher talking about health and Jesus. I never had one that talked about those things together.
That's weird.
But regardless, I'm not just trying to say like do the right thing because it's the right thing to do and be healthy and eat an apple and this, that, and the other thing. I'm tying this directly into the reason why you're watching this video. And let's be real. You're not watching this video so you can get perfect blood work. Maybe some of you are. But if you're watching this video, you're watching this channel, chances are you want to be jacked and tan and swole and you want to get attention and you want to be strong as hell. You want to excel in a sport. You just want to be the best you that you can be. Even if you don't inherently care about all these perfect blood markers, the healthier you are on the inside, the more output, the more go power you have in the gym. I'm 39 years old. I have lived a long athletic lifestyle of beating the shit out of myself.
Yeah.
And I can still hang with the best of them. I didn't know if I was gonna be able to hang with Mark today because Mark's been running himself into the ground his entire life. And I feel pretty good that I hung with you.
We did a great, it was a fun workout, but anyway, where can they find you?
So I'm at DDT Method on Instagram. I tell everybody this. Reach out to me and message me. I have an account that is engaging with the people that follow me. I like to talk about this shit. I'm a nerd, I'll talk shop all day. If you have any questions that I can help you with, message me on that and I will get back to you.
Thank you guys for watching. Again, support the channel by going to tigerfitness.com because I got bills to pay because Legacy's not exactly in the positive right now, so you know what I'm saying?
It's the off season for OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's off season. Anyway, guys, no, I'm just playing. But anyway, support us, be sure to follow him, like this video, subscribe to this channel, click the notification bell, and remember, that's not a game.